Well, yeah, I think the more we have, the more we have to lose. And I think this is our fear base. If you don't have a lot, you're used to not having a lot. And the prospect that you might lose some of it isn't as daunting. When you have a huge amount and it's built on trends of prosperity and how well the stock market is doing and real estate values and value of retirement programs, whatever. If your hope is based on those things, then you're always going to be insecure and you're always going to be fearful. In 1 Timothy 6, we're told not to put our faith in riches, in money, in wealth, which is so uncertain. That's what it says, which is so uncertain, but to place your hope in God, who is certain. And so, this is where we need to understand that things have mass. Mass has gravity. Gravity holds us in orbit around our things and our money. And so we are centered on money often as a false god. And this is why Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. You can have both God and money, but you can, and money isn't a bad thing at all. And of course, 1 Timothy 6 does not say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But that's the whole point. We take a secondary money and possessions, and we make it the primary. And whenever we do that, we're committing idolatry because we're putting it above God. So if your trust is in your money, you're not just committing spiritual adultery, which is idolatry, but you are setting yourself up for anxiety. Of course, you're going to be worried. Of course, you're going to be fearful because that which you most value is precarious. You could lose it. But you will never lose your relationship with Christ. If you truly know Him, God is there for you. He indwells you. Christ indwells you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Romans 8 says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, that He's causing all things to work together for good. He who did not withhold his only Son, what will He withhold other things from us? And then the chapter ends up, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Well, that is very, very good news and a great grounds for true ultimate optimism. And this is why when Christians sound like pessimists all the time, and I certainly believe in studying eschatology, but I do think many people have gone way overboard on their emphasis on their particular understanding of the end times. And we have been living in the end times for 2,000 years. I mean, Scripture makes that clear. This is called the last time. I know what we mean, the last days. We usually mean, well, just before Christ comes. But we just need to understand that Christ may come any moment of any day, and He may not come for 100 or 500 years. Now, I've said that to some people who said, what? I mean, like that was heresy. Well, I mean, it's been 2,000 years. Would 2,500 be such a stretch? Oh, no, well, things can't keep going. As look at the way the moral foundations of America. Well, where's America in the Bible? What does this have to do with America? I mean, we're just not nearly as important as we think we are. I mean, when Rome was crumbling, when the Jewish nation was crumbling, people could have said, well, Christ has to return. Because look at culture. Well, cultures come and go. Nations, powers come and go. But God remains on the throne.